Longtime friend, former lawyer, and supporter of Mutulu Shakur, and Brad Thompson, the current lawyer for Mutulu Shakur, who lies near death in prison in Kentucky. Brad Thompson is with the People's Law Office in Chicago. That does it for our show, Democracy Now!, produced with Renee Feltz, Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Messiah Rhodes, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Tarasena, Tommy Warrenoff, Tarina Naduro, Sam Alkoff, Tamaria Studio. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
You are listening to WUSB Stony Brook 90.1 and 107.3 FM. This program has been brought to you today by the Tom Pastilio and Mickey Conlin team at Douglas Elliman Real Estate, hosts of the Jazz Loft Summer Music Series in Stony Brook Village. The Tom Pastilio and Mickey Conlin team at Douglas Elliman Real Estate may be reached at tomandmickey.com. We thank them for their support of WUSB Stony Brook.
Where it's just about 6 o'clock on a Tuesday evening, meaning, once again, it's time for Off the Wall.
Thank you.
I could just listen to that all day long. And, you know, there have been days where I have listened to that all day long. But this won't be one of them because we have a radio show to do. And the radio show is called Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here on this side of the studio and Kyle over there on the distant side of the studio.
Yeah, it's not too far away. It
actually takes time for sound to travel to you.
Yeah, sometimes.
That's the pause. You see that? That's the pause because it takes time. Sound waves.
Getting here. Yeah. I'll just interrupt then.
We're not a supersonic station. Not yet. We're working on it. Frank's working on it. Supersonic FM. Well, boy, yeah. I'm sorry if I seem a little perturbed. But I'm a bit perturbed. You know why I'm perturbed, Kyle?
No, why?
I'm perturbed. That's the most I've ever used that word in one day.
Yes, please stop.
Okay, well, I have to say it one more time because I have to start the sentence over. I'm perturbed because I had to deal with... What's a nice way to refer to idiots? Because you can't say idiots anymore.
Difficult folks.
No.
Yeah, I know the
No,
fact.
We're difficult folks. People who just don't... Can you say fools? Can you say...
Don't focus on what you're saying. What is...
Well, they might be listening.
What's with them?
They might be listening.
You don't need to label.
I don't want... Wait, do I not want to offend them? Or maybe I do want to offend
them. Yeah, well,
what
is the point? Okay. Who cares? You're already talking about it.
You know what? I don't know where they were. They could have been anywhere. I talked to them on the phone. Okay, you remember a year ago, I had the procedure to get rid of a kidney stone that was being very stubborn. And I've been paying off what my insurance company didn't pay. Well, one of many things my insurance company didn't pay. You know, there's the premium, there's the deductible, there's the part they just say, hell no, we're not touching this. There's even something called co-insurance, which is your share of what it is they're supposed to be paying. But in the end, there was a pretty hefty amount left over, and I was paying it off every month. And every month I'd get an email. I'd actually get an email saying, hey, your payment is about to happen. And then another email saying, your payment happened, and it's been reduced by this amount, and this is how much you have left. And that amount kept getting lower and lower and lower, and in May of this year, it hit zero. It hit zero. I was so happy. So imagine my surprise when I opened up a letter from the people at the hospital saying that, hello, it was very much like the other letters that they send every month, which is a big waste of paper, but they would keep sending these letters. This one said, we have sent your account to collections. Yeah, I just opened this because I've been very busy this summer and just getting around to catching up on the mail. And I couldn't believe it. They sent my account to collections. So I called them and said, what gives here? I was paying every month. It went down to zero. How is it that there is a balance, and how is it that you never told me about the balance until you sent it to collections? And literally the person on the other end of the phone could do nothing except repeat what the letter said, that, yes, this has been sent to collections. You know, I tried to pay it. I said, okay, listen, just resume. Since apparently what happened was they gave me an amount, and then after I agreed to pay that amount, they said, no, we're going to make it a different amount. And they just sort of made up a new number. If you look at the pieces of paper they sent me every single month, in the upper corner, you see that there's a new balance. There's how much is owed, and then there's a balance, as if those two things are different. Well, in this case, they are. But I wasn't looking at that because I had no reason to. I was getting that email every month saying that it's being reduced by this amount. But apparently that only applied to the amount that they were basically applying it to. I'm starting to sound like them. There was another amount that it didn't apply to, but for some reason that amount wasn't getting billed at all. It was just being saved until my other amount had reached zero. And then, through some kind of magic, I guess I was supposed to just suddenly realize that there was this other amount. They never sent me any kind of notice saying, hey, by the way, there's more. You want to continue paying? No, they never did that. They just sent it off to collections. So today, when I tried to resolve the situation, they said, oh, you got to go to collections. There's nothing we can do. And I was like, I'm trying to pay you. I'm trying to resume what it was that I was doing for the last year. And I guess I have to do it for another year. because you guys didn't tell me the right amount, and they couldn't do a thing about it. They said, no, you got to talk to collections. Look, nobody has contacted me from collections. I guess they kind of subscribe to the same don't tell people things philosophy. So now I'm just sitting tight waiting for something to happen. I've got nothing in the mail, got no phone calls, no text alerts, no visits, nothing. And I don't feel bad about it. You know, if this is the state of our healthcare right now where they just bill you random amounts and don't even contact you and tell you you owe this amount, and then when you try to pay it, they just transfer you to some other entity that I don't even know who they are. So, yeah, it's been a bit frustrating today, Kyle.
I hate this about the healthcare system so much that if you go and seek anything to improve the quality of life, they'll make sure that if one part of your life is feeling better, they will make it worse with this hell of billing madness. They really, you know, I one of my first insurance companies I ever started paying self-insurance for, because it's just impossible to get employed and have it taken care of in a career. Are you kidding? Laughing so hard at that. I found that company eventually down the road had a class action situation because of billing practices and some of what I encountered, and I'm not sure how that is. It's either in progress still or was resolved for a very small amount. But either way, it just was, at the time, just egregious. They were throwing things at me, like thousands of dollars in lab fees for things that eventually became part of regular wellness visits and some of the insurance packages. So like what you're able to have covered in the slow progress of legislation and national versus state healthcare systems is one thing, and then the hoops with this actual bill and what you're forced to deal with once you're in their system and they start, you know, using billing codes and their whole medieval whatever torture chamber of customer maintenance, and then they just shove you off to something like collections to stick it to your credit score, and it's awful. It's really predatory, and
First of all,
I find it's just so sad and insulting, because even if you're like you're just doing the best you can and you're busy, you're working, you're catching up on your mail, you're not sitting there living every day to see what kind of crazy thing they're going to throw at you.
I was not even looking at my mail because I didn't think there was anything urgent in there, and there was certainly nothing from a collection agency, and there was nothing from them that said, oh, by the way, here's a new bill. It was just hidden, you know, one number that was hidden in a different place that they didn't call attention to, and they didn't say a word about. But, you know, I don't care about my credit rating. I really don't anymore.
Well, no. I mean,
I've had enough credit. I'm fine. Don't worry about that. So whatever they want to threaten me with, even though they haven't threatened me at all. And the person on the phone today couldn't care less. They just said, no, there's nothing I can do transferring you over to this entity. You have to deal with it with them. And no, you know, it's a collections agency isn't the agency that did the, you know, the operation on me. So I'd rather deal with the people that did. And considering I did nothing wrong, I don't see why I should be treated as if I did. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. Just kind of sit tight.
Yeah. That opaqueness of the not telling you stuff, that's pretty bad.
There's plenty of other hospitals. I'll go to another one next time.
Like, they think a missed phone call is notification.
There were no phone calls. There
were
nothing.
You know, that's what it comes down to, is that you weren't there answering every single message. Maybe
they expect people to just rivet their attention onto every utterance they come up with. I'm sorry, you know, my life's more important than that. I don't care.
And every change in policy and
just nuts.
Procedure that you have to just ride, like you're just out there surfing.
It up, had a very nice phone conversation a year ago with somebody saying, okay, that's just, you know, every month until it's paid off. And I assumed that they meant it, and they didn't. They just came up with a different number, didn't apply it.
It's cruel.
Yeah, it's you know, if you're going through something like this, though, and I have it easy compared to a lot of people, because you know, I've known people who have been going through basically life-ending diseases, and they should not have to worry about how much they're being charged how much a hospital or an insurance company is debating them over. That should be the last thing, or not. That should never even be a thing that they deal with. You know, it's uncivilized, it causes so much stress and heartache. It's just, you know, like I said, I have it easy compared to what a lot of people have to go through. And my advice, if you or anyone you know is going through that, just choose not to deal with it and say, you know what, I don't have time for this. I'm battling a disease here, so I'm going to worry about that. And when I'm past that, I'll worry about, you know, making you happy with whatever you're demanding from me. But it's just, it's so wrong to do that to somebody who is, you know, basically going through hell as it is. It's our system, you know, it's just the way our system is designed. And it's, you know, I'm just getting a very tiny taste of that. But boy, I don't like the flavor.
Well, it's this thing where I'm happy. It's part of feeling like you're healthy and well is that you haven't really had to deal with any appointments or anything that could trip some code somewhere in mm-hmm. some billing system that turns into a nightmare of them chasing you down for every little thing they want to change, like a couple dollars here or a test there. Yeah, I'm happy to be just skirting the edges of it until the next appointment I have to make, and then God help me, I don't know what to do.
They can't handle their accounting. How is that on me? It's just
the
really
rising incompetence is a lot.
It really is.
It's an affront to our sensibility.
Anyway, people don't care about this. Let's move on. Other things going on in the world locally. Hey, did you hear that local jerk who runs the ice cream shop in Port Jefferson? He won a case. This George Wallace dude. Basically hanging pro-Trump and pro-Zeldin banners on his ice cream store right at the corner of Route 25A and 112. It's the main corner. Port Jefferson judge, a local judge, has ruled that that this ice cream shop owner had his free speech rights infringed 2 years ago when village officials cited him for hanging signs supporting then-President Trump and opposing former Governor Cuomo. Village Judge Tara Higgins threw out citations on July 29th, in which Port Jefferson building officials charged Rogers Frigate owner George Wallace with violating village sign ordinances. Officials had said Wallace erected banners that were too large and lacked required permits. Mayor Margot Garant told Newsday that the village filed a notice stating its intention to appeal Higgins' decision. In a three-page ruling, Higgins said the village sign ordinance was valid in customary circumstances, but was outweighed in this case by Wallace's constitutional right to free speech. Yeah, here's where I have a problem with that. Yeah, free speech is definitely something I believe strongly in, but it's this guy's free speech and nobody else's. And the reason for that is because he owns the shop at that corner. Now, just the other day, we were driving by there, and there were a bunch of anti-choice demonstrators standing outside because this is what he attracts. Anti-choice, you know, with the big signs, with the mutilated fetuses and things like that. Some days there are Proud Boys standing out there. All kinds of right-wing zealots are attracted to that corner now because of this guy's free speech. Now, if we were to stand next to the anti-choice people with a pro-choice sign, we'd be threatened with arrest because, hey, it's private property. Or it's village property where you don't do things like that on village property at all. But he's got the ownership of that building in a prime location, so he can have all the right-wing zealots he wants exercising their free speech. But if anybody detracts from that in any way, trespassing. Do you see how it's an issue now? Yeah, freedom of speech is a great thing, but only when it applies to everybody, to all sides, not just to one side. And that is what this person is abusing and getting as a result of this ruling.
Yeah, the things that it attracts as a result certainly is an unintended consequence of not applying, you know, the ordinance and sign rules across the board. And I know businesses that have, you know, just wanted not to have a new sign, or they've foregone any of that stuff because it's so complicated to get permission. And then for something like this, it's tolerated. That's pretty insulting.
yeah.
What most people feel in that area, the atmosphere, welcoming people from out of state through the ferry, and it just, I don't know, it's turning into a point of contention, and it has for a long time. I mean, it throughout. And it took quite a while for anybody to, for enough people to actually say something, mm-hmm. and make a point of it. So hopefully there's more that's said about this, but I agree with you. Like, no one else there, no other business is putting up political signs, let alone like, they're scared to put their own signs up just because it's so costly and the permits and code violations are such a big deal.
Let me ask you a question. So if I was an employee at Roger's Frigate, the fascist ice cream place, I like to call them. If I was an employee there who had a different point of view, would I be allowed to put up a sign outside the shop that I work in? I guarantee you the answer is no. If there is, you know, a pro-Hochul person there, I guarantee you they would not be allowed their freedom of expression, freedom of speech. No way. And you, as a customer, you should have a right to freedom of speech as well. If you're a customer, you go into there and you buy an ice cream cone, you should be able to walk out of there and hold up a picket sign expressing your views. Freedom of speech. Hey, let's try it out. Let's see just how much they believe in freedom of speech. There's a parking lot there. Okay, people can drive in with cars and trucks with big banners on them that espouse different political ideology than what is officially allowed at that corner by that person. Freedom of speech. So try it out. I hope everybody does that. I hope people really test this, because this kind of abuse is unhealthy. It's detrimental to our society. It's intimidating.
Yeah, they're the only place with armed private security.
Yeah, I don't know what that's all about either. It's ice cream, for God's sake.
Yeah, they take themselves pretty seriously.
Yeah. Fortunately, the rest of us don't really, but... on that same subject, Port Jefferson, same basic area, they had a referendum in the ambulance district election. The ambulance district election. This is about 2 weeks ago, I believe. It was close. It was a close election. They were basically voting on lowering the retirement age for volunteer first responders from 65 to 60, while also giving them a $30 pension bump for every year of service, according to the resolution passed by the town board authorizing the vote. The proposal was to have increased cost for the district by about $16,000. In 2023, from a current level of about $8,000. So you want to know what the vote was?
Yes.
0-0. Nobody voted. Nobody showed up. Nobody showed up to vote. How crazy is that?
Is this a board or is this a public election?
It's a public election.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? What were they trying to get passed exactly?
You listen to the repeat. I'm not going over it again, but
no,
basically... Yeah, it was frustrating for people that were pushing this. The community would have supported anything to benefit these volunteers wholeheartedly, and that's why it's so disconcerting that no one seemed to be aware the referendum was taking place. that's according to one voter. Similar referendums reportedly passed in neighboring districts like Mastic Beach, Shirley, Medford. Brookhaven Town Councilwoman Jane Bonner said it's an issue of advertisement, and voter turnout was pretty paltry for all the districts, but in all my years in office, I've never seen zero people vote in something. Yeah. what was surprising to all of us, another person said, is that not even any of their own members voted, meaning members of the,
the EMS squad.
Yeah. So people, you got to turn out.
They figured everybody in the community would care.
Yeah, you got to care.
Yeah.
It matters. It really does. All right.
People like to volunteer, but they don't realize just how important it is when you're doing it.
I know.
You know, service and volunteerism, it matters. It matters when you show up. It matters when you help people that are short-staffed and you know, themselves have organizational difficulty and, you know, they're not asking for the help just for their own vanity.
Well, sometimes they are, but usually not. Usually it's, you know, purer purposes than that. But, yeah, showing up matters, volunteering matters, speaking out matters. We're programmed to believe that it doesn't, but it does. It really, really does. And we hear that all the time, you know. While we might not hear it immediately on the air right now because we don't have a phone line, but sometimes even when we do have a phone line, we don't hear it, and we think, hey, nobody cares. But then we hear about it in weeks and months and years later when people say, hey, that really made me think. So, you know, thank you for saying what you said. And that goes for you, too. It doesn't just go for people on the radio. It goes for anybody saying anything in a place where people might hear you, or, you know, writing a letter to a local newspaper. These things matter. They really do.
Especially if the letter is in support of the newspaper staying around. You know, those publications need help. Mm-hmm. They need people that are interested and passionate and care about what they're doing. Maybe it's a community paper publication or something like that.
Yeah. Hey, another local story, which is of concern. West Babylon man pleaded not guilty to assault charges after allegedly attacking three people with a machete at a Patchogue Dick's Sporting Goods store last Friday. A Dick's Sporting Goods store in Patchogue. Probably reads better. So this guy, I don't know how you could mistake what he was doing. Basically, he's accused of attacking several people with a damn machete in a store. He had gone to Dick's Sporting Goods at about 3:15 on Friday to buy rifles.
Interesting.
When an employee required a background check, he walked away and then used a machete to attack a store employee and two customers. Yeah. Now, think about that for a second. This is a guy who walked in there hoping to walk out with firearms. And when he didn't get his way, he attacked people with machetes. Imagine what he would have done had he had the firearms and subsequently didn't get his way for something. Yeah. So many things could have gone wrong here, said Suffolk County Police Commissioner Rodney Harrison. If he was able to buy a rifle, who knows what he was planning to do with it? There was a man running around with a machete attacking people unprovoked. This could have been a lot worse. But this really points out is the importance of background checks. Because even the hint of having a background check was enough to stop this person from continuing. Unfortunately, he chose another route and was violent, but doesn't compare to what he could have done had, like in so many other places, he'd been just blindly given whatever it was he wanted. So, yeah, it matters. It really matters. Things like background checks and red flag laws. Governor Hochul has praised this very county, Suffolk County, for their use of red flag laws to keep weapons away from anyone who poses a danger to themselves or others. And Suffolk County actually is leading the state as far as implementing that. And it's effective. It really is. And I hope other counties, other states take note of that. It's a step. I don't think it's enough of a step, but it's definitely a step that we can live with.
Yeah, it's a part of a lot of different layers you can put in place so that at each stage there's reasonable, logical questions and verifications that are going to take some time allow both the public and the private person interested in this to walk away with the best outcome.
Yeah. And what else is going on? Of course, still Trump's violent reaction to his home being raided in search of top secret documents. at Mar-a-Lago in Florida. And basically what this has resulted in, his basic calls to violence and calls to violence from many in the Republican Party, open season on the FBI. And, you know, I'm sorry, but if you're a Republican, never again do you have the right to criticize anybody who calls for defunding the police. Because what you're doing is calling for defunding the FBI, who, last I checked, were pretty policey. You know, and because they do something you don't agree with or you don't think is fair, that's a reason to call for violence, to call for civil war, to call for basically abolishing them without even knowing the facts. This is what Republicans do. It's really scary. You know, without even knowing what it was that they were raiding Mar-a-Lago for, they were condemning it before they even knew it was about classified material. They've gotten a little bit quieter since, because I think the gravity of the situation is starting to become apparent. But when it first happened, right away, you must tell us immediately and unseal all the documents and show us everything and reveal the names of the people involved, the confidential sources, et cetera, et cetera. No, that's not how it works. That's not how investigations work. Even I know that. There have been a number of cases, actually, of people. There was a case in Cincinnati last week where somebody actually burst into an FBI office with an AR-15, later killed by local law enforcement, because he was provoked by Trump to do something. He didn't have anybody with him. He didn't have people supporting him, because most people are sane. But this guy, Adam B, or Bi, let's say Bi, B-I-E is how you spell his name, B-I-E-S actually. Adam Bi's goal was simple: kill as many FBI agents as he could, according to a federal criminal complaint filed yesterday in western Pennsylvania. And Bi's was not shy about expressing that goal in the days after FBI agents executed a search warrant on Mar-a-Lago. He allegedly threatened to slaughter and kill FBI employees in multiple posts on Gab, a conservative social media platform. "We, the people, cannot wait to water the trees of liberty with your blood. I'll be waiting for you to knock down my door." Well, he didn't have to wait very long. They arrived on Friday, and now he'll face justice for this. But there are so many. There are so many more, and it's really kind of scary and frightening. And, you know, not even talking about what we're looking at as far as the offenses that Trump has committed. Things like, you know, sensitive nuclear information that maybe was in his basement, maybe was shared. We don't know now. We don't know, because it's been well over a year that he's had these documents. Who knows what he could have done with them? Never before has this country been in such a perilous condition because of the actions of a former president. It's unprecedented, and we should all be very concerned about that. This is a sideshow, this whole now we got to fight back against the FBI. But I guess, you know, I shouldn't be surprised. I shouldn't be surprised at how crazy people can be, how stupid people can be. And, yeah, people can be really stupid. I mean, we just saw something on Vice News about the Philippines. Ferdinand Marcos Jr., elected overwhelmingly by a landslide. Ferdinand Marcos Jr., you know, all I have to say is Ferdinand Marcos, and people know that's a bad man. That's an evil dictator. That's somebody who is responsible for the deaths of thousands and thousands of people who ruled with an iron fist. And you elect his son?
Not only that.
Overwhelmingly.
And they're not even like an opposition candidate. They're carrying Duterte's legacy.
Oh, my
God.
They
are in alliance with him.
Well, his daughter is the vice president. Duterte's daughter is the
right.
Vice president now?
Yeah.
And he was the recent dictator who killed thousands of people. And the populace loves it. I mean, what do you say to that? We like to think free and open democracy, you know, we'll get what we want. And unfortunately, what we want sometimes is wrong. Really, really wrong. I don't even know where to begin with that, because you always like to think if you turn out and vote, you can make change. But sometimes there's a lot of, I don't want to say idiots, but just misdirected people that think they're voting for the right thing and are actually voting for hell. Really, really hell.
Yeah, and you have to remember also that technologically there is a lot more at play than some sort of innocent, organic, historical movement that information and this campaigning moved at the pace of Pony Express and newspaper clippings. Like, get a grip. This campaign itself was a part of some of the same internet research and Cambridge Analytica stuff in terms of using social media, and that is cropping up again. And that was one of the angles to that story, was how much social media and information can be manipulated en masse at scale in specific, targeted, and effective ways, and the science of this is it's worked, or more or less worked, here in the U.S. at one point. We're still reeling, I guess, from results of some of that kind of innovation, but it was cloned just like a virus or any kind of malware or software.
Right.
It's basically a playbook that was used and refined and continued to be used over and over again, and it's probably still being used even though we're trying to get some kind of controls and transparency around it with social media. But I just want to say, like, it's not in some sort of historical vacuum that everything's old school and stuff. Like, there's tools to manipulate that many people now, and it's not that expensive.
I know. I just think that we're better than that. I just think we're smarter than that, that we see that we're being manipulated, but... And people will say, hey, Emmanuel, you're being manipulated by believing that they're being manipulated. And how do you win that conversation? It just never seems to end.
Well,
when you look at social media as the source of the truth, it's not. You know, you have to look at the facts. You have to look at history. And I don't think people are doing that.
It always makes me think of the phrasing of, or the description of the internet as the society's or consciousness's collective hallucination, or whatever that quotation is. Like, we're a part of that, but we're really tripping. I mean, that's what I think when I start thinking of, like, how circular and how it's, like, people get warped into everything is a conspiracy, there's no truth, and it's just all... That's where it's like, yeah, this... funny thing with technology is really a collective hallucination. I mean, it rings differently to me.
Okay, well, speaking of tripping, Texas. This story bugs me for the same reason. Texas Governor Greg Abbott is maintaining a 7-point lead over Democratic nominee Beto O'Rourke in the governor's race. Even after all of the just... outrageous behavior on the part of Abbott and his lack of sympathy for all the mass shootings and Beto O'Rourke's honesty and willingness to get into it with people. Despite all of that, I cannot imagine. I know so many people in Texas, and they're all pretty sane. So. Why? How is it possible that Abbott maintains a lead? What will it take? You know, what he's doing against women by taking away their right to choose, the horrible racist things he says and does, maintains a 7-point lead. I hope the polls are wrong. I really hope the polls are wrong, because I cannot imagine if he wins yet again, after all the bad things that have happened in Texas, I don't see any hope. I don't see how. I don't see what it's going to take. I just don't get it. And then today, looking at Wyoming, Liz Cheney is likely to lose her congressional seat to a Trump-backed rival. And why? Because she demanded answers to January 6th, was on the January 6th commission, and by doing so, committed the ultimate offense by going against Trump. And in Wyoming, apparently, you have to punish somebody if they do that. How do you not see how scary that is? If somebody does something wrong or is suspected of doing something wrong, you investigate. You don't cover it up. But apparently, according to the people in Wyoming, you do. You don't dare cross Trump. You don't dare criticize him. How do you not see that as the building blocks of fascism? So, yeah, I'm worried about that. I hear Sarah Palin's making a comeback in Alaska. She could be a congresswoman. What is wrong with us? What is wrong with people, not just in the United States, around the world? We're voting for this crap. We're accepting it. We're making it happen. How do we stop that? This really makes me worry about November of this year, despite all the evidence to the contrary, despite all the spirit to the contrary. It makes me worry about 2024. It makes me worry about the future in general, because we don't seem to have common sense. We don't seem to look at the facts and draw conclusions. We seem to do what we're told. So, yeah, it's that and my phone call today, that's just put me in a foul mood. So, you know what? Let's go back to happy times. I'm continuing my listening to old records. You know, I'm going through the Billboard top 100 or top 30 or however many they decided to count in that particular year. And learning so much about history, about music. And you told me about this song. I was playing it because I play all the songs that I discover. I find them online and I play them back. And when I played this one, you basically lit up. Let's see if anybody recognizes it.
Down the highway doing 79. I'm a twin pipe popper and I'm feeling fine. Hey man, dig that. Was that a red stop sign? Confusion, transfusion. I'm just a solid mess of contusions. Never, never, never gonna speed again. Slit the blood to me, bud. I jump in my rod about.
Okay, that is by somebody called Nervous Norvis from 1956. And it's about this guy who keeps getting blood transfusions after he keeps getting into horrendous car wrecks. Very controversial at the time because it seemed to be promoting bad driving. But I'd never heard this song before, but you had. Apparently your dentist played it for you for some reason.
Well, my ex-dentist, he's since retired.
Uh-huh.
It has nothing to do with the song.
I hope not.
He's a family friend, and we were having some... I think he cooked us some salmon or something, but... He showed us this video, and we were laughing.
It was a video.
Well, we played it on YouTube, but he was just, I guess he thought of it, and that's how I got turned on to it, but I didn't know anything about it. No, not really.
Can I just, let's turn this up so we can hear the production values, how crude they are. Let's listen to the end of the song.
I'm a never, never, never gonna speed again. Pass the claret to me, Barrett. Rolling down the mountain on a rainy day. Oh, when you see me coming, better start to pray. I'm a cutting up the road, and I'm the boss all the way. Transfusion, oh doc, pardon me for this crazy intrusion. I'm never, never, never gonna speed again. Pump the fluid in me, Louie. I'm burning up the freeway early this morning. I'm a passing everybody, oh nothing but corn man. Out of my way, I don't drive with my horn. Transfusion, oh nurse, I'm gonna make a new resolution. I'm never, never, never gonna speed again. A gallon in the Allen. Oh, barnyard drivers are found in two classes, line crowding hogs and speeding jackasses. So remember to slow down today. Hey, Daddy O, make that type O, huh? Atta boy.
Oh, I love it. I never heard that on any of those stations that purport to play music from the 50s, but. Yeah, that was a big hit. Nervous, 1956. So look at what I'm learning.
drive carefully too.
And, of course.
Don't take blood transfusions for granted, because and in fact donate some blood. I'm sure there's some PSAs here at the station you can listen to, but yeah, it's precious. Life out there on the roads is treacherous, and yeah, I love that. It's so silly, and like you said, the crude production with the Foley car crash. Anyway, it's jaunty, and I keep saying jaunty.
No, it's jaunty.
A fun
it's fun. But back then, it was controversial. That was controversy.
But a folk song, kind of. But it doesn't make you think of the 50s. You feel like it's older than that, you know?
Okay, here's something that might make you think of the 50s. This is actually a couple of years earlier, 1954. A singer known as Rosemary Clooney, perhaps you've heard of her. She was the aunt of George Clooney. And she was a tremendous singer. And this is one of her hits with a special guest. Let's listen.
This old house once knew its children. This old house once knew its wife. This old house was home and comfort as they fought the storms of life. This old house once rang with laughter. This old house heard many shouts. Now he trembles in the darkness when the lightning walks about.
Ain't you gonna need this house no longer? Ain't you gonna need this house no more?
Okay, right there. That is where the song takes up and launches into space with that voice. That voice, my God, I heard that, and it's just, I had to hear more. That is the voice of a man known as Thurl Ravenscroft. You ever heard of Thurl Ravenscroft?
I can't even say it.
He was an American actor and bass singer. Now, if you had to guess, where else might you have heard that voice?
Oh, gosh. Maybe in cartoons or something.
Oh, that's a good guess.
Merry Melodies or what?
All right, let's listen.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Yep, there you go.
You really are a heel.
Care to guess for another famous voice?
Dr. Seuss.
That wasn't Dr. Seuss. Wait, is the Grinch Dr. Seuss? Yeah, the Grinch is Dr. Seuss.
The story is. I don't know.
I should know
what
my history.
Thinking of.
Okay. All right. One more. I'm gonna play one more. Ready?
They're great. Like a catfish out of water.
Yeah, that was Tony the Tiger. He was the voice of Tony the Tiger all my life. I didn't know that. Well, I didn't even know this guy existed. So I guess. Oh, I didn't know that the Grinch singer and Tony the Tiger were the same person. I learned that by listening to that Rosemary Clooney song, This Old House, which I've heard many incarnations of by other artists. But, yeah, that's the kind of thing you learn just by exploring old music and downloading 78s from archive.org, because there are so many amazing bits that can be found there that are just long forgotten.
Yeah, and share them with your friends, because they might have some funny connection or a story or a song that they know of that you never would have heard about that'll intrigue you and send you off on another historical journey.
Well, you see, it's easy when you're listening to 78s, and I'm starting to run into a problem because I'm moving through the late 50s now into the 60s. 78s kind of went out of fashion about 1958. And songs stopped being released as a matter of course on 78s. Instead, you got 45s, and they aren't as easy to find to download. You basically have to buy a copy on some online source.
They aren't as high resolution, are they?
78s?
45s.
45s. You're opening up a whole debate there. But the point is, a lot of artists in the late 50s and throughout the 60s. Got kind of a raw deal by the record companies. So what they wound up doing to make up for that was re-recording their material and getting a better deal for themselves. Sounds great, sounds fair, but the victims here, in addition to them, are the listeners, because many times we don't know which one we're getting. Yeah, record promoters put out albums that say original artists, but not original recordings. So you wind up... Okay, here's an example. You know the song by the Monotones, Book of Love? I grabbed this from an album called American Graffiti. It's a collection of songs from the 1950s. And, well, here's how it starts.
I wonder who put who. Who wrote a book of love?
Okay, let me just stop it right there. Did it to you sound like there's a guy in there that didn't quite belong in there? Because, you know, I don't know these songs 100%, but it sounds to me like there was a guy out on the street basically just hanging around who managed somehow to infiltrate the recording session. You know? Listen again.
I wonder who ba-doo-hoo. Who wrote a book of love?
I'm sorry, that guy just doesn't belong in there. That voice is wrong. You know, that grating voice, right?
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, it's like very distinct and a little bit out of step with the other.
It's just, it's too gravelly.
But that's the original, right? That's what you're going
to That's what I thought. I bought the damn song. I thought I bought the original.
This is so confusing.
It's very confusing. It's meant to be confusing.
Okay, so that's
so I had to basically do all this research. And what you have to do is you have to find a site that has the album in question and then has listener reviews, because they will rat it out if it's a re-recording. This is what it's supposed to sound like.
I wonder who wrote the book of love. Tell me, who wrote the book of love.
Okay, yeah.
You hear the difference, right? I mean,
yeah, now that the guy in the first one sounds like someone at the end of a bar.
Exactly,
Who has not paid and is like been cut off and needs to maybe call a cab.
But in reality, he's probably one of the original singers. It's just that nature wasn't kind to his voice in his later years.
Oh, so they were doing the best they could.
Doing the best they could. They re-recorded it. Yeah, what are you going to do? You know, you have to re-record it. You have to do the best you can.
They, like, wake him up off of some beach somewhere, drag him into the studio, and say, look, this is it. This is your retirement. You got to do this now. And he does that. And it's
yeah, and he should have done it before.
Not right.
No, it's wrong. I mean,
so how many more?
I feel bad, but almost every song. Just one more time.
I wonder who ba-doo-hoo, who wrote a book of love.
Or,
I wonder who wrote the book of love.
I mean, it's easy once you play them side by side, but you don't get to do that when you're picking it, you know, an online site saying, okay, Book of Love, monotones, original artists, and you wind up with the wrong one. Every single song, you have to research and make sure you're getting a version that's not redone. It's a real problem. It really is. People actually buy physical CDs that have the wrong versions on them. This was not a problem when I was downloading songs that were on 78s, because nobody's going to pirate a 78. No one's going to put a fake version on a 78. That's going to be real. So it's going to be a bit trickier as I move through the 60s in this research project.
It's like you're going to have to fingerprint formats and know that, like, this type of file, like, when it's not CDs, you'll have to know that it's, like, it was this original file in this format, and it was this minutes long, and that's how I know it was the original, and, you know, it was recorded and copywritten and then released on this platform. I mean, I can imagine there's going to be other waves where they did re-records, right? This wasn't the first or the last time in history that
a whole
bunch of stuff was re-recorded. I mean, there's been modern pop singers who've had this happen to
Dobie Gray, Drift Away, one of my favorite songs from the 70s. I downloaded a version of that. I could not recognize it. Could not recognize it, but from the description, it was the right song. But I knew it didn't sound like that. Sometimes that's all you have is your memory to say, this is wrong. This is not the version that I remember. Sometimes your memory will fail you, and in fact, it is, you know, the right version.
Especially if they record it in very similar methods.
They try to make it sound the same. I know, and I get it. I understand why they do it. But it's just for purists, for people who really want to go back and hear it the way it was originally presented. I sympathize with that they got a raw deal. Maybe there's a way that every time you buy the original, you also buy the re-recording and support them somehow. I don't know, but this is wrong. you know, to basically knowingly sell people the wrong version.
There should be at least be some kind of clear labeling
mm-hmm.
so that you can tell, like, look for a certain symbol or a certain way there's a marking or a distinction.
That's what the listener reviews do. So, fortunately, if you go to Amazon or something like that, you read what people say, and if it's the wrong version, somebody will tell you it's the wrong version, and that's a good thing. Hey, going back to modern-day news, third track, Long Island Railroad. It's sort of in service now. As of, I believe, yesterday morning, they debuted it. This is basically a way of getting more trains running on the main line into Manhattan from Long Island. A 10-mile stretch from, I believe, Floral Park to Hicksville.
Doesn't it kind of connect the north and south?
Not at all, no, no.
The middle there?
That's what Hicksville does.
Oh, yeah, okay, but it goes to Hicksville,
right? It goes to Hicksville. After Hicksville, you're on your own. You either go north or you go down to the south.
Right,
but there's other ways to get there,
too. More capacity for stuff going into and out of for those two areas where
yes,
it splits.
That's true.
That's the whole point, right?
I mean, there's another way to get in, too. You could go through Rockville Center. There's a couple of tracks that go that way onto the Montauk Branch. But basically, there have been two tracks going on the main line, which is what they call, you know, around Mineola, that area.
Nassau, right?
Since the 1840s, all right, when the population of Long Island was, I believe, 50,000. And now it's something like 3 million. So if I have my math calculating correctly in my head, I would say that if we kept up with the population change over that amount of time, those two tracks then would be 60 tracks now to keep up with that. And we have three. So, yeah, it's a step forward, but, boy, it's not much of a step. But it is going to make a dramatic difference. They're going to be able to have, like, 90 trains a day instead of 50 or something like that. But anyway, there was a whole big thing yesterday. Kathy Hochul came down and rode a ceremonial first train, which confused everybody because the ceremonial first train came well after the actual first trains that were in the morning. And everybody on the news was getting this wrong, too, by saying where the third track was. The third track is not the middle track. That's the old second track, because think about how they do it. There's two tracks. They're going to build a third track. They're not going to move aside the two tracks and put another one down the middle. No, they're going to put another track next to the second track, and they're going to basically rebuild the platforms. So the track that was the third track was basically the eastern-bound local track, which I guess they started using for the first time, because what they had was one of those walk-out platforms, temporary platforms, to walk to the second track. You walk over the third track, and they took that down, and now the train is going on the third track, only for a limited period, though, because they're opening up another stretch of it on the 29th, and then it's going to be finished in April. And then hopefully it'll be a lot faster and more trains.
Anybody heading east would have seen this next to the train if they're sitting on the right
yeah,
side.
Yeah, they would have seen the temporary platforms.
You've seen all of that construction, and mm-hmm. It's finally being put into service.
And it's about time. And it's good to see that we're finally making progress after 70 years of planning. That and East Side Access, trains going into Grand Central Station, that's going to be fun. I know ridership is way down because of the remnants of COVID, but this is smart. This is building for the future, and we will arrive at a day where we will be happy that we have this. All right, so I guess, you know, that pretty much does it for us here tonight. You can write to us, otw@2600.com. And, of course, stay tuned to WUSB at all times, and particularly to Finn coming up next. And we are going to go out, because I know people really want to hear the song, with that Rosemary Clooney and Thurl Ravenscroft piece, Uninterrupted by Us. Enjoy the voice, because it really is majestic. And we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Once knew his children, this old house once knew his wife. This old house was home and comfort as they fought the storms of life. This old house once rang with laughter, this old house heard many shouts. Now he trembles in the darkness when the lightning walks about.
Ain't you gonna need this house no longer, ain't you gonna need this house no more.
old house is a-getting old. This old house lets in the rain. This old house lets in the cold. Oh, his knees are a-getting chilly, but he feels no fear of pain. 'Cause he sees an angel peeking through a broken window pane.
Ain't gonna need this house no longer. Ain't gonna need this house no more.
Ain't got time to fix the shingles. Ain't got time to fix the floor. Ain't got time to oil the hinges nor to mend the window pane. Ain't gonna need this house no longer. He's getting ready to meet the saints. Thunder.